Greg Merriweather from Channel 9, our news partner. There is a fascinating piece going on, an investigation into a local judge, a district court judge, and some potentially disturbing or possibly unethical behavior. Greg, what is the deal with Judge White?
Well, it appears, at least and thank you and good morning to both of you. It appears, though, so far from what we've seen, and we've been working on this for a while, she's basically routinely and repeatedly ordering folks to go to a certain company called RHI, which she's done business with the owner before for her campaign, and the owner's son at one point was her campaign chairman. He kind of moves around back and forth, but so far that's been sort of the connection. And some of the things we've heard so far since our story aired the other night is, you know, well, some judges have somebody they prefer to do the monitoring. This company charges more than anyone else out there that we found. And there's also some new questions that we'll be looking into is just how exactly they're doing this monitoring.
Well, this is so they can get bail set. She has not actually laid eyes on these people in her courtroom. She is simply signing orders saying you need to go to RHI, which stands for Rehabilitation Home Incarceration. They do things like ankle bracelet monitoring, things like this, before I will set your bail. There is a constitutional right in both the federal and state constitution to bail unless you are a flight risk or you've committed a capital crime. How does she square this inside the confines of court?
Well, and that's part of what we're looking into, but it all depends because depending on, you know, I don't know how deep people realize this is, but let's say you're out after hours and you get a DWI or you get picked up for something, you have a warrant. Well, once you go to jail, there's a judge on duty. She's the judge on duty one time during the week. And so what happens is you have to go before her. She will tell you, you have to go see Cleve Dunn and RHI or they'll come to you at the jail before I'll set the bail or before you can get out. But most of the time the bail is set. It's just you have to go through those conditions. And you take a normal person, most of these hardened criminals, they know the system. But you take a normal person off the street who's first time in jail, they just want to get out. So they're willing to agree to whatever conditions they possibly can just to get out. It ends up being a $550 fee just to sign up with the company right off the bat. And most of the other companies we looked at are $200, something like that. So you do, at this point, it's people are saying, well, you know, she has the right to use a approved vendor if she wants. While that may be true, you don't have to force somebody to use a specific company, and that's one you have ties to for sure.
Okay, now RHI, though, there are behind-the-scenes connections between Judge Trudy White and RHI that seem a little hinky. Can you lay those out for us?
Well, yeah, we looked at her campaign records. Cleve Dunn, who owns RHI, he's senior. His son is very active in the political movement, but he has done marketing work for her and just kind of has some connections to some of the judges there at the 19th Judicial District. He's done consulting work for her for her campaign. At one point, his son was her campaign chairman, and Mr. Dunn Sr., his office is sort of behind his son's warehouse, so there's just a whole lot of just connections that are going on that are just raising a whole lot of red flags.
WAFP Channel 9's Greg Merriweather is with us. One of the investigators PC's working on takes a look at some of the actions by 19th JDC Judge Trudy White in steering large numbers of people that are in her court before they even go to trial, steering them towards electronic home monitoring through a group called Rehabilitation Home Incarceration, RHI, run by a family that she's got some established connections with.
Greg, did you look at other duty judges and see whether they were sending people to a specific monitoring place or whether they ordered monitoring before setting bail at all?
Yes, we picked a random time in October, August, and the last one was in September just to try and see. We checked several different judges at random without even knowing their names at first because they just had their section number. And we did not find a pattern like this whatsoever on any of the other ones. And I want to touch on a racial component to this that we've kind of been talking about since this story aired. People think we're targeting Judge White. It's even went as extreme to say we're targeting her because she was able to ask the president a question when he was in town. People think that's kind of on the fringe, but there are some people that think that we're looking at her mainly because she's an African-American judge. The biggest part of that is the people that she's hurting the most in this, if this does end up happening to where she's sending all these people to this huge fee, are African-Americans.
Well,
she's hurting African-Americans in this.
We have other African-American judges. We have Judge Bonnie Jackson. We have Judge Janice Clark. Are they sending people to this pre-bail counseling or whatever?
Not that we've seen. And, you know, some of them may send folks, if you're picked up on domestic violence, you know, some people may send you to monitoring or counseling or whatever it may be, but not at this rate and not repeatedly and not over and over and over again.
And she is within her rights from the bench to say, you must see this company, not any one of the others.
We're looking at that right now. It appears so. There's no oversight in this. These judges are able to do kind of what they want to do. It's not like if your car breaks down on the interstate, you could pick your own tow company, but if you can't get it off there in a certain amount of time, then Baton Rouge Police comes in and says, hey, we're taking this one. But even the tow companies are on a rotation. So, you know, you might not one tow company gets all of the business that comes through the city. So perhaps we could look at these monitoring services, these bail services being on a rotation.
And Greg, RHI is one of the higher charging monitoring services. They're more expensive than some of their competitors. But as I understand it, there's also some complaints with the quality of the work that they do.
We've gotten a lot of complaints on that, and that's some of the things that we're looking into now is just how in-depth is the monitoring. We know that some of the monitoring involves people just having to call in four times a day. It doesn't have to be from a landline. It could be from a cell phone. Mm-hmm. So you never know really where people are. And that may not just be exclusive to RHI. So, you know, a lot of times when you stir a hornet's nest, you know what comes out.
What happens if somebody is picked up and this judge or any other says, you need to go and see RHI and you need to pay them the $550, and they say, I don't have it? Do they sit without bail?
Well, if they don't have that, they probably don't have the bail money either. So they probably sit in parish prison for a good amount of time.
Well, I think it's very interesting. Are you going to keep looking? Are you going to look at all the other judges to make sure that we've got a fair and open picture of this?
Oh, absolutely. And we've gotten some complaints that, well, you know, there are some other judges that use a specific bail bondsman or a specific monitoring company. And while that may be true in some instances, they don't do it at this volume by any means. And they don't do a company that's almost double, more than double anyone else. I mean, these are expensive fees.
Greg, is there another chapter in this investigative report coming up?
There is. I don't have an exact date on it because we're working on it now, but we'll be looking into that and looking in further into the connections and further into RHI, just to make sure that they're on the up and up.
I say this without pride or prejudice, but the 19th JDC judges are a fairly tight group.
Mm-hmm.
Has any of the other judges been willing to talk to you about this practice? Not specifically about the judge, but about this practice.
I met with, originally we tried to get an interview with with Judge White, and she referred us to the chief judge, Don Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I met with him for over an hour. It was off the record, so not everything we talked about can be told, but some of the things that we did discuss that would be told is that he's going to start looking into this, and that perhaps they were supposed to start looking at some minority companies, and maybe this went to the extreme.